All right, turn in your Bibles tonight for a few minutes to the book of Mark. The book of Mark. Mark chapter 16. I want to read a few verses. And one in particular that I feel like that the Lord has impressed upon my heart. Beginning in Mark 16 and verse 1, it says, "And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him, as he said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed, neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." The thing that I want us to notice tonight in particular is a marvelous thing in light of what this man had been guilty of during all the events of the betrayal and crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that God is merciful to His people. We know that God is gracious to His people. But He is also patient with His people, patient with His saints. And if we can get a glimpse, if we can see in a measure something of His patience to us, to all His people, it will go a long way to giving us patience with others. When these women entered into that tomb, they found it empty except for one angelic messenger sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to bear witness of His resurrection and to deliver a special message to his disciples. He says, if you look back in verse 7, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him as he said unto you. Now, one I want us to notice tonight is the patience that the Lord showed to one of his disciples in particular, and how he noted him with favor, how he spoke and included him in his grace, even though he had done some awful things. If you notice here, he says, go and tell his disciples, bear this message to his disciples and Peter. I was thinking about it this week, how that maybe of all the people I might identify with in the Scriptures, maybe Peter would be the one I would most likely identify with. Because Peter, in his experience as a believer, he's like the poster child for the patience of Christ, the grace and mercy of Christ. But the thing is, God used him to show us what we are, because in him we see all the struggles we have with pride, all the struggles that we have with self-righteousness, all the struggles we have with patience, with ignorance, with impetuousness. You see, Peter was one who was swift to speak and slow to think. He was a man of pride. He was a proud Jew. And he was somewhat of a coward. And he was a busybody, I'm afraid. You see, if you examine the record of Peter, it's not a very glowing one. If we look at it and think about it just briefly, when Christ began to teach the parables, Peter was the one who spoke up. He didn't understand what Christ was saying. Peter was the one that tried to keep the children away from Christ, thinking that he knew better than Christ. Peter was the one who sunk in the water. If you remember, walking on the water, took his eyes off Christ, Peter was the one that sunk in the water. Peter is the one who rebuked Christ for saying that he was going to die on the cross. Imagine that. The very purpose that Christ came into this world for, the event he came to deliver in this world, and Peter said, no, you can't do that. And Christ said, get thee behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're talking about. Peter was involved in that discussion or debate as to which one would be the greatest in the kingdom. That's Peter. And Peter said on the Mount of Transfiguration, he's ready to do something. When Moses and Elijah and Christ, they were transfigured on the mountain, Peter had a plan. He jumped into action. He said, let's build three tabernacles. No, Peter. Peter was the one who rose up in swiftness and anger, drew the sword, and cut off the high priest's servant's ear. You think that advanced the kingdom any? The Lord told him to put away the sword, and he healed the high priest's servant's ear. But he cut off his ear. He's swift to action. And he said of Christ, when Christ was washing their feet, he said, you'll never wash my feet. And Christ said, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have any part with me. And then he said, oh, wash my head, dude. Peter was the one who boasted that he, of all people, would not forsake the Lord Jesus Christ. He's ready to go and to die and to face whatever must be faced for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said, you don't know what you're talking about, Peter. Peter was one of those that when the Lord told him to watch and pray in the garden, what did he do? He, like the rest, he fell asleep. You can't depend on him to pray for you, even if you're the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter was the one who, instead of fighting for Christ or instead of identifying with Christ, he did just exactly what the Lord said he'd do. And when Christ came under the deepest pressure, Peter denied the Lord three times. And when that young lady began to look at him and said, I believe I saw you with that fella. It says that he cursed. And he said, I don't know the man. You haven't seen me with him. Peter was the one who, as Christ was being led to that cross, the Bible says he followed him afar off. He went over there and warmed his hands by the fire of the enemies of Christ. Peter was the one who, in disobedience to Christ, said this. He said, I'm good at fishing. He's been killed. He is no longer. Thought he was going to do something for us. But I've got to make a living. I've got to do something. I've got to be busy. I've got to provide for my needs. And so he said, I go a fishing. And he went fishing. And then Peter, turn over to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Then Peter, when certain of the circumcision came from Jerusalem, Paul tells us in the book of Galatians, when certain of the circumcision, that is those of the Jews who came from Jerusalem, Peter was sitting with the Gentiles, but he then got up and he went and sat with the Jews. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians 2 and verse 11. He said, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. He was wrong in that. He was denying the sovereign grace of God. He was denying salvation by grace. He was denying what God had told him on the rooftop, that what God called clean, he was not to call unclean. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. I told you he was a coward. He was a coward. And I tell you what, that's what we all are at heart. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. And that is often not the fear of what men will do to you, but the fear of men excluding you or thinking less of you or giving you less advantage, less favoritism, loss of favor. That's the fear we fear most. And when those Jews from James came from Jerusalem, Peter was not clear of that bigotry naturally within, that racism that was natural to him, that feeling that somehow as a Jew he was a little bit better than those Gentiles, especially if these men came. And he gets up out of his seat and he goes over and sits with them. Does that man know anything about grace? Has he ever heard the gospel? Has he ever believed the truth? And all these things, it says, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. He led people by his example to do wrong. Insomuch that Barnabas, that son of consolation, Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. That's Peter. And that's just part of the list. Can he be a believer? Can he go on and have any hope of heaven or hope of being forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ after he has so personally and so openly denied and failed the Lord Jesus Christ? Yet in all of this, in all of this and more, no doubt Christ did not reject him. He said, go and tell my disciples and Peter. You see, Peter, right now he's not feeling much like he's the child of God. And after all he's done, he's not feeling much like I love him or want him near me or want him a part of my kingdom. But you be sure when you give this message to my disciples and you tell them it's going to be just like it was when I said to them, I'll see you at Jerusalem. He said, you make sure you tell Peter. That makes me so happy. He rebuked him, such as when he did what he did that was wrong. He corrected his error. He sent the Apostle Paul to, and no doubt others, but he did not reject him. He taught him. He spoke compassionately to him. He used him in spite of his sin, in spite of his failures, in spite of his lapses of faith, in spite of his weakness and sin, he used him. And he was never disappointed with him. Can that be? I'm telling you, he was never disappointed with him. His love for him never changed. His purpose of grace for him never changed. As a matter of fact, these things were all a part of his purpose for Peter. You say, how can you be sure of that? Because we know that he works all things together for good to them that are the called according to his purpose. He takes everything and works everything to accomplish a particular purpose of grace to his child and glory to his name. You can rest on that. I can look back over my life. I can look back over my ministry especially. And I can think about where I failed and how I didn't do this and how I wish I'd have done that. I can spend day after day brooding and thinking about all these things. But Paul said, put them behind. They were God's will. You say, how can you say they were God's will? Because they happened. If they happened, they were God's will. That doesn't change my wrong in them or my error in them, no doubt whatsoever. But they were God's will, or they wouldn't have happened. But as far as sin is concerned, the error of it, the punishment of it, Christ was coming to this world to bear Peter's sins. And he bore them all away on the cross. He bore the penalty of them. Look over in Psalm 103. This psalm came to my mind this morning. Such a wonderful verse. Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children. Do you pity your children? I tell you what. If you have children, I don't believe there's anything that can quite try your patience, break your heart, cause you to lay awake in bed, cause you so many things. But you never stop loving them if they're your children. He said, like as a father pitieth. I'm so glad God pities me. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He knoweth our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. That's why I say he was never disappointed with Peter. Because even though Peter didn't know it, Christ knew what Peter was all along. Dust. His child, but dust. Nothing but sin in himself. Nothing but weakness. Nothing but pride. Nothing but ignorance. Everything that he came to save him from. And everything he came to deliver him from and make him righteous in himself and accept him before God. Because just as nothing that Peter would ever do, say, give, sacrifice, or anything else in his life, just as that would not put him in good standing with God, likewise, nothing he did could put him in bad standing. Why? Because his standing was always in Jesus Christ. His standing was always in the immutable Christ. His righteousness was always in Christ. God always viewed him in Christ, loved him in Christ. And God used Peter to show these things to us about ourselves and about God's mercy to us. You say, God was really gracious to Peter. Yes, he was. God was really gracious to the Peter, Simon Peter. God was really patient with Peter. Yes, he was. And it takes the same patience of God with you and you and you and you and you and me especially. He's patient. If he wasn't patient, if he was mutable, that is, if he would change his mind, you and I wouldn't last a day. Not a day. Turn over to Psalm 89 for just a moment. Psalm 89 and verse 30. He said, if his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments. Ooh, that's me. I'm in that club. If they break my statutes and keep not my commandments. That's me also. And every child of God. Then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. He laid all the stripes on Christ because their iniquities, their transgression, they were all his by virtue of him being the surety of them. But the consequences of that sin, and the sin in light of the relationship between the Father and His children, He visits them with the rod. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews we find out that His chastisement, rather than being evidence that they are not children of God, His chastisement of them is evidence that they are not bastards, but sons. They're not to despise it. I've said sometimes in my weepings and in my prayers, Lord, lay the rod on me as hard and as often as is necessary, but don't let me go. Bind my wandering heart to thee. Don't let me go. Don't let me sent away what I have in you. But look at verse 33. Nevertheless. And I tell you what, the Pharisee and the self-righteous person, they cannot understand this not one bit. It's unbelievable to them that this is the way it is. God said, if they sin, if they break my law, no matter what they do, I'll visit them with the rod. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. And that's just what you see in our text. Go tell my disciples and Peter. Don't leave him out. He needs to hear it again. He needs to be reminded of my everlasting love. He needs to be reminded that I don't cast off, that I don't give a divorce, that I don't do with my child what men do with their children. He restored Peter. He said, you go tell my disciples and Peter. Now look over in John 21. I want you to see this. John chapter 21, beginning with verse 15. And this is when Christ was resurrected and he did just exactly what he said he would do. And hey, Peter did exactly like Christ would say for him to do. It says in verse 15 of John 21, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You know I love you. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. You're not supposed to be fishing. You're supposed to be feeding. Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love you. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Most people you can tell twice and get it through to their heads. Not Peter. Not you and me sometimes. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest I love thee. Whenever I can't even have the witness of it in myself, and whenever I can't sing that song your daddy didn't like, oh, how I love Jesus, I'm sorry. I'll sing all you want to about his love for me, but I can't sing, oh, how I love Jesus. I do love him. He knows it. But sometimes he doesn't know it by any evidence outward of me. He doesn't know that. Couldn't know that. He said, feed my sheep. Do you notice how that Peter has fallen to this state? He has said what he said. He's done what he said. He's been stupid. He's been ignorant of grace. And yet, God's still saying to him, be my shepherd, under shepherd. Feed my sheep. And I'll tell you this. If God didn't use wretched creatures, fallen, helpless, hopeless sinners, if he didn't use them to preach, you wouldn't have anybody to preach to. And you wouldn't have anybody to preach. Well, the Lord has spoken to Peter. He's restored Peter. Peter's going to be different. When he got through talking here in John 21 to Peter, and Peter to him, verse 19 says, he said, follow me. You follow me. You keep your eyes on me, Peter. Look in the next verse. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper time, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith Jesus to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? He's got the same problems. Christ has just pressed upon his heart the necessity to feed his sheep. Christ has just pressed on him the singularity of following him. What does he do? He looks over at John and he says, what about this fellow? It blows my mind. Because we do the same thing. What about so and so? What? That doesn't matter. That doesn't enter into your thought pattern. Shouldn't in any way what so and so is doing, how much so and so is giving, what they're sacrificing, what they're doing for the Lord, how much they're praying, how much they're coming. He said, follow me. And I tell you this, you'll have a lot happier life when you follow him. And let him take care of his other children. I just pray he's patient with me. Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come. If I decide that John shouldn't die until I come again. What is it to thee? Follow thou me. Follow me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And all his weakness, all his past failures, all everything about sinful Peter, it did not keep the Lord, who can take a crooked stick and draw a straight line. It didn't keep the Lord from using Peter. It was Peter that preached that glorious message at Pentecost. 3,000. It was Peter that God spoke to and did miracles by. It was Peter that he used to write two of the epistles. It was Peter whose name is inscribed many times in the New Testament. Why? because he loved him with an everlasting love. And because he chose him in Christ before the foundation of the world. Because Christ died for him, came and poured out his life's blood for him. And because he used him for his glory. And Peter, even in all his falls and disobedience, unbelief, misguided zeal, self-righteousness, pride, and bigotry, even in all the midst of that, he believed on Christ. He did. He believed on Christ. God had given him true faith in Christ. He couldn't be separated from Christ. All these things could happen, would happen, did happen, but he could not be torn from the bosom of Jesus Christ. One day Christ said, "Who are all these people saying that I am?" He said, "Well, some think you're John the Baptist, and some think you're this and that and the other. But who do you say that I am?" He said, "You're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God." Then on another occasion, after seeing a great miracle, a multitude of people who appeared to be disciples of Christ, they went away and the Bible says they walked with him no more. And Christ looked at Peter. He said, "Will you also go away?" He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You've got the words of eternal life." He had to hear the words of eternal life. And that's why, with all the failures and all the appearing contradictions in the life of God's people, there's one thing that they can't get away from, and that is the words of eternal life. They can't do without, they cannot get along without the gospel. Amen. The gospel of Christ. You see, Christ died for sinners. What do we expect? He saves sinners. Saves them from their sins. But I'm afraid they still keep on sinning. He loves sinners. He even rebukes sinners. But he doesn't reject them. As a matter of fact, he uses them in whatever way it pleases him. He uses them and it gets him glory. "Go tell my disciples." Oh, there's one fella, he's even afraid to number himself among the disciples. But just so he knows, "You go tell my disciples and Peter that it's going to be just, I'll be just where I said I'd be, and it'll be just as I said it'd be." Oh, the patience. We talk about the patience of Job, the patience of God with his people. Our Father, we pray tonight that you would get glory and honor to yourself. Help your people. Comfort your people. We're a straying, failing, denying, whatever people. But we're your people. And we're in your Son. He's all our hope. We pray in His name. Thank you. Amen.